תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות, ברשות כבוד הרב, קהל קדוש. תנאית שיעור בעזרת השם וביף הרפואה שלמה, ומרן חכם עובדיה בן גוג'יה, אין הרפנה לו, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, רפואתו כרובה לבוא, וכן ירסון ונאמר אמן. וגם לעילוי נשמת ראשי בן אליהו חיים ודאה יוספו, רוח השם ינחם בגן עדן. וגם מיכאל ואפרים יוספו, שהשם עליהם יחיו אורך ימים ושנות חיים, אמן ואמן. We are a few days away from Yom HaDin, the awesome days of judgment. Shiyabu alenu letova, amen. If one wants to understand the essence of these days, you must study the reading of the Torah that was chosen. The Hakamim chose select pieces of the Torah that capture the key of the day. It is well known that on Rosh Hashanah we read the dramatic story of Akedat Yitzhak. And it's clear why we do it. Our tradition is that the Akedat Yitzhak actually happened on Rosh Hashanah. So it's the anniversary. Not only that, but we take a shofar, because when Yitzhak was taken off the Mizbeach, and there was a ram that its horns were stuck in the bushes, so Avraham Avinu pulled the ram by its horns and he put it on the Mizbeach instead of Yitzhak. So we take a shofar, which is a ram's horn, and that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibiyachol to remember the Akedah. I'm not going to explain it tonight according to the Kabbalah, but just a taste. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that each one of the Avot represents another Midah. Avraham Avinu is Chesed, and Yitzhak Avinu is Deen. When Avraham Avinu is putting Yitzhak on the Mizbeach and tying him on the Mizbeach, that's the Midat HaChesed that's suppressing the Midat HaDin. It's restricting the Midat HaDin. So we read that parasha as if we're telling Borei Olam, Shichbeshu Rahamecha et Ka'asecha, V'yigolu Rahamecha al Midotecha, V'tetaheg Imanu M'midat HaChesed U'midat HaRachamim. That just like Avraham Avinu Isha Chesed, he binded Yitzhak, which is the Deen, now the Deen is suppressed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do the same. I want to say one word. If somebody will ask me, is there a way that we could suppress the judgments? God forbid if there's Midat HaDin, is there a way we can cause the judgments to be limited and restricted? Today everybody's looking for sigulot. People travel all over the world to find different sigulot for different things. The Jewish people are called Am Sigula. They love the sigulot. Today you see people wearing red strings on their wrists. They say it's a sigula for parnasah, and they are absolutely right. The one that sold it to you made a lot of parnasah. For him it was a good sigula, but for those that are wearing it, I don't know exactly what it does. Our hachamim tell us that the right hand is midat hachesed, and the left hand is midat hadin. every morning when a man puts on tefillin, he takes his right hand and he ties his left hand. That's like Akedat Yitzhak. He's taking the Midat HaChesed and he's tying down the dinim. That's the biggest sigula. You don't need strings and you don't need all sorts of holy waters and all sorts of gimmicks. The Torah itself is the greatest sigula v'atzlacha. At the end of the story of Akedat Yitzhak, the pasuk says, God tells Abraham, Ki barech abarechicha. Everybody loves this aliyah. To stand at the Sefer Torah when the Hazan reads, Ki barech abarechicha. It's a cherishable aliyah. It's very coveted. It goes for a lot of money, this aliyah. And the Akedah ends on a high note. Abraham Abinu wins the day. But you must know there's another aliyah after this. And this is the aliyah that I came to talk about tonight. I don't have a problem with the Sefer Torah ending at the Akedah. That's the crescendo, that's the plateau. But there's another aliyah that the Achamim added. What does it say in this aliyah? It was after the Akedah. And Abraham Avinu got the news. Abraham, your brother Nachor, he has children. It utz bechoro, it booz, it kemuel, it kesed, it hazo, it pildash, it lav, it tuel. Not only that, but he took a concubine. Pilagsho, ushma Reuman, her name is Reuman. Vatelet gamu et tebach, ve'et gaham, ve'et tahash, ve'et ma'acha. And that's the way the reading of Rosh Hashanah ends. And I'm asking you a simple question. Who cares about Nahor? And who cares about Utz and Booz and Kesed and Hazor and Gehinnam and Pildash and Yidlaf and all these children? Who are they? What are they? Who is Nahor? Nahor is a nobody. This was needed for Rosh Hashanah. We couldn't go without this aliyah. You needed to know that Nahor has 8 children and that he has a Pilegesh. My job in my synagogue is to sell the aliyot on Rosh Hashanah, amongst other jobs. And I like to tell the people, before we sell the aliyah, what the content of the aliyah is. Rabotai, now we're going to read how Abraham put Yitzhak on the Mizbeah. Wow, this is a good aliyah. Debil. This is the aliyah, Ki barecha barechicha. Wow, that's a good one, I'll take it. When I get to this aliyah, what do I tell them? Rabotai, this is aliyah, sigula for pilegesh. What's the aliyah? Booz, kemuel, kesed, azon, nahor, pildash, yidlaf. So what is this aliyah? Who needs this aliyah? Somebody raised their hand. How much will you pay me to take this aliyah? And I'm asking a question. What is this aliyah doing in Rosh Hashanah out of all days? Yom Kadosh Menorah. In order to understand, I think we need to go review what the essence of Rosh Hashanah is all about. I think there's a very big mistake. Many people come on Rosh Hashanah, they have a list of all the things that they want for the coming year. To most people, Rosh Hashanah is a supermarket where you go shopping. You give your list, I need 2 of these, I need 1 of those, this I'd like to return. And that's all you're doing. For 48 hours, you're shopping. You're asking God for the list, and please, if you could deliver it ASAP. And this is what Rosh Hashanah is. God's giving out matanot, and you're just putting in your order. This is a very juvenile interpretation of what Rosh Hashanah is. How do I know? Because if you look in the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah, there's no requests. We request for more things in the Tefillah of Chol. In the 18 Berachot of the Amidah, we request for many things. In Rosh Hashanah, there's no request in the Amidah. That means that's not the day. Now, I'm not saying that somewhere in between you can ask for things, but that's not the purpose of the day. So then what is it then? If it's not a supermarket, then what is it? The essence of Rosh Hashanah, if you look in the Mahzor, the word that repeats itself more than any other word is the word Melech. This is the day that we coronate the King, God Almighty, over the entire world. Every king in every government every year has a day that they re-coronate him. They make a parade. And the king comes out on his horses and they take out the bugles and they they make the blowing of the horns. On Rosh Hashanah, we are coronating Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down Rosh Hashanah, we take out the bugle, it's called the Shofar. The king is here. And on this day we say to the whole world, V'yeda kol pa'ul, ki ata pe'alto, that every creature, even the smallest of creatures, must know that you created it. Even the bug, even the lice. V'yavin kol yesur, ki ata yesarto, and all of the animals, all the yitzurei olam, they must know the creatures that they were created by God. V'yomar kol asher neshama be'apo. That's the human beings that have a neshama. They must say on this day, Adonai Elohei Yisrael Malach U'malchuto b'kol mashala. God is the sovereign king, and his sovereignty is over the whole entire universe. U'malchuto b'kol. This is what Rosh Hashanah is. Proclaiming God as King of the world. And God has given us this job. God did not give this prestigious job to the nations of the world. God says, let my children come and announce to the entire world, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ba'ed. This is Rosh Hashanah. It's all about Melech. It's not about us, it's about God. And we have such a job to establish the kingdom. And this is our purpose for 48 hours. And that's why we say in the prayers, She'em Mishtachavim Lehed Varik. The whole world is bowing to nothingness and idols. And then we bow in the Amidah, Ba'anachnu Mishtachavim. Lefne Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole theme of every paragraph. Everybody will fall in front of you. They will accept your kingdom. Because the kingdom is yours. And your kingdom is forever. That's the theme of every single paragraph. Wherever you turn in the Mahzor, it's the same story. That means by the end of Rosh Hashanah, it's drilled in your brain. Hashem Melech, there's a king in the world, and this is God Almighty. And part of that acceptance is that this king is judging me today. That means implicitly, or explicitly, that God knows everything that I did, that I'm doing, and that I will do. That not only is He a God that created the world, but He is an all-knowing God. That is called Hashkaha. There is a divine providence. God is watching. If there's a judgment, that means He knows what I did. Even if I went into my room and I closed the lights and I went under the table, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. That's also part of Rosh Hashanah, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world and then retire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is active. And He's intimately involved with all of the creation, with all of the creatures. And anything that happens in this world is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it. The Baal Shem Tov said that you'll see a tree and a leaf will fall off the tree. He says that leaf has Hashkaha. Why that leaf? Why on that tree? And why did it fall in that spot? HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it. Somebody might come along and say, nah, God's too busy for that. God is involved in the big things, in the front page of the newspaper, the major world events, but small issues, menial, trivial things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's too busy. Has Melezkir. Heaven forbid to mention such a thing. We say on Rosh Hashanah, Adonai Hu HaElohim, Adonai Hu HaElohim. What does that mean? God is God. God is God, God is God. What are we repeating? Adonai Hu HaElohim, Adonai Hu HaElohim. Rav Chaim Volozhin, the student of the Gaon Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna, he said there's a difference between Yudke Vavke and Elohim. Yudke Vavke refers to God's management of world events. Yudke Vavke is the power that is involved in the major events of the world, in the mega events, in the macro events. And Elohim represents the name of God that's involved in the micro events, in the details of the creation. You shouldn't think that God is not only involved in the wars and in the governments and in the major, major events of world history. We say, no, Adonai Hu HaElohim. The macro is the micro. The God that is involved in Hashkaha Kelalit is involved in Hashkaha Piratit. The one that's toppling empires knows exactly what I'm doing in my house. And which is more important to God's eyes? They're equal. That means if you go to God's desk, on the desk, you think you're going to see on the front top pile, Syria, Egypt, all the Arab Spring, that's the major news, that's going to be on his desk. And then underneath, you're going to say, God, where's Eliyahu Mansur? Yeah, we have a file somewhere. How do you spell it? M, what's F? Here it is, there's a file, we know about you. But now we're dealing with Syria. No. When you go up to the desk of Borei Olam, you say, Borei Olam, where's Syria? Right here. Where's Eliyahu Mansur? Right here. The same? The same. I'm involved in this like I'm involved in that. My intervention is equal. Adonai Hu HaElohim, Adonai Hu HaElohim. God is just involved in the macro events as He involved in the micro events. This is Rosh Hashanah. It's an exercise in Emunah. We're exercising our muscles of Emunah. There's a tradition that says that there are 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the 10 days represent the 10 commandments, the Aseret of the Debirot. Each one of the Debirot is one of the days. And therefore the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Anochi Adonai Elohecha, Asher Hoseticha Me'eres Mitzrayim Mibet Abadim. I once asked the question, what does it mean, I am God that took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery? What's the double language? Land of Egypt, house of slavery. Eretz Mitzrayim, Bet Abadim. Did you ever observe that? Why does it repeat it? I think the explanation is as follows. Nobody doubts that there must have been a God that brought down the mighty Egyptian empire. The events of Eretz Mitzrayim were world colossal events. Sus v'rochevor amabayam. Only a God can drown the entire Egyptian army in splitting the sea and wreaking havoc on the mainland in Egypt. The events of Eretz Mitzrayim represent God's involvement in world colossal events. But the first commandment says, just like I was involved in Eretz Mitzrayim, I'm the same God that's in Bet Abadim, that's in the homes, that's in the private house of every Jewish slave. Don't think I'm only interested in major news. The God of Eretz Mitzrayim is the God of Bet Abadim. The Hashkaha Kelanit is the Hashkaha Peratit. Adonai Hu Elohim, Adonai Hu Elohim. And that's why the first night of Rosh Hashanah, the first day, is Keneged Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Hu Elokim. It's the two manifestations of the Hashkaha. And that's why, if you ask me, Rosh Hashanah is all about Emunah. Every holiday works on a different part of the body. Pesach is the mouth. Pesach. We read Haggadah. We eat Matzah. Sukkot is the hands. We shake the Lulav. The Hosha'anot. Rosh Hashanah is the head. Because that's where the Emunah is. That's why it's called Rosh Hashanah. Because the day is to fix the head. That the head that's crooked, that the brain that forgets who's running the world, we need to straighten our brains on Rosh Hashanah. That's why there's 48 hours. 48 in Hebrew is Memchet. Memchet is Moach. Moach is the brain. Because Rosh Hashanah is fixing the crookedness of the brain. In order to reestablish God is king, and that's why the blessing in the Amidah is Melech al Kol Haaretz. That's Rosh Hashanah. Melech al Kol Haaretz. That's the objective. If a person comes out of Rosh Hashanah, and you ask him, how was your Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, I asked for this, I asked for that, I asked for that. But what about the Melech? What Melech? What Melech? What are you talking about Melech? What do you mean, you don't know the day was Melech? No, I was too busy shopping. Too busy shopping, so you missed the day. You missed the purpose. The first commandment is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the introduction to tonight's talk. And now we get to the part that I find most difficult. You see, when we were young, we went to the yeshiva. And they taught us as kids, if you keep the Torah and the mitzvot, and you're religious, and you're observant, and you're obedient, you'll have beracha, you'll have a good life, everything will be good. If you listen to the mitzvot, there's beracha. And then they told us in the same class, and those that are delinquent, and those that are not observant, and those that are mehalel, they suffer. And we're kids. We believe the teacher. And then we went to geometry class, and they gave us the rules of geometry. They told us a right angle is 90 degrees. They told us transitive property, A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. They told us Pythagorean theorem, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. They told us pi R squared. They gave us all the geometric theorems. We accepted them. When we got older, we realized that the geometric theorems are absolute. But when it comes to good people having a good life, that doesn't always work. And we started to look around and we see religious people that are Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot, and they're suffering. And they don't have an easy life. They have difficulties. This one struggles to pay his rent. This one is looking for shiduch. This one is married without children. Lo aleinu ve lo aleichem. This one has children, but they're rebellious. This one has problems in marriage. Then what happened over here? That the second great teacher said, if you follow the Torah and the mitzvot, everything is good. And then we see the opposite. We see the wicked prosper. Rasha v'tovlo. We see the guy that doesn't do any Torah, no mitzvot, no Shabbat, no kashrut, no tarat mishpacha, nothing. A deadbeat. And he has the life of Riley. Everything he touches turns to gold. He has a family, he has children, he has grandchildren, he travels, he goes. And then you start to scratch your head and you say, what's going on over here? And this becomes one of the biggest challenges of ma'aminim, of believers. How could it be? Why did a righteous suffer? And why did a wicked prosper? This is not my question. This is the question Moshe Rabbeinu asked God. It's such a strong question. There was a book that was written a few years back. I'm not going to say the name of the author. His name is not worth to be mentioned in a holy place. And he wrote a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? That's the name of the book. I'm sure you could Google it, but I don't recommend it. And he concludes, he says that when bad things happen to good people, God is not involved with it. It's random. God has no idea what's happening. He has left the world and he just leaves things to chance. Afra lepumeh. This is nothing short of blasphemy. To come along and to say that God is not involved, the Baal Shem Tov said he's involved in a leaf falling off a tree. And this apostate comes along and says that God is not involved in the tzaddik when he suffers. And you know what I say to that author? How cruel are you? It's not enough that a person's suffering. But then to add insult to injury, you tell him, and what happened to you, God wasn't involved with it. That's the consolation we give him. That the bad luck that you're enduring is random. You see what I mean? This wasn't from God? No. You rolled dice. You rolled wrong dice. Tzaddik v'ra'lo. The tzaddik that suffers. I didn't come tonight to give an answer to this, but one thing is clear, that it's from God. And God is wiser than us, and God is good, and God is just. And you must put that in your mind. El emunah ve'en avil tzaddik v'yashan hu. ואתה צדיק על כל הבא עלינו, כי אמת עשית. Whatever God does is אמת. God hasn't made a mistake in 5,773 years. His record is perfect. And although we might not have an understanding of it, but Borei Olam has an understanding. And if you're going through that philosophical dilemma, you're not alone. Now let's go back to Aperasha. Abraham Avinu comes back from the Akedah. His son is his precious child, his only son from Sarah. Collectively, Abraham and Sarah were married for 190 years without children. I don't have to tell you the pressure of couples that are waiting to have a child. Imagine living 190 years, month after month, waiting for a child. And finally they get one. Yitzhak Avinu. And now God tells Abraham, when he's 137 years old and Yitzhak is 37, go take him and slaughter him. And Abraham Avinu has to take his beloved child. Bincha yechidecha shelahavta. And he puts him on the Mizbeach. And he's about to put the knife. You can imagine how stressful this test is. It's a test. It was an easy test. And then Avraham Avinu takes him off the Mizbeach, because God says, don't do it. And he says, bring a sacrifice instead. Now Avraham didn't know how it's going to end out. He didn't have Parashat Vayera. It's not like he said, well, give me a chumash, let's see what's going to happen over here. The story is being written as it's happening. Could you imagine after the Akedah was over? On our standards, we would say Abraham deserves a vacation. On our standards, if it snows for one day, we deserve a vacation. Kal vachomer, if you have to go sacrifice your only son. And the Akedah is over. Not easy. The tzaddik doesn't have it easy. And now listen to the next aliyah. Abraham's coming back from the Akedah. He's taking the sweat away from his brow. And all of a sudden somebody comes to him and says, Abraham, you heard about your brother Nahor? No, who's Nahor? Nahor is Oved Avodah Zarah. Nahor is a zero. Nahor is an idolater. They said, yeah, Nahor, he's having children like guppies. Oots and booze and kimuel and kesed and azor and pildash. Not only that, he's got a concubine on top of it. And the concubine has children. Tebach and Gaham and Tahash and Ma'acha. And Avraham Avinu could say to himself, I don't understand it. I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy, and I get one child, I eked out one. I'm the one that jumped into the fire in Ur Kasdim. I'm the one that found God in a world of godlessness. At the Nefesh Asir Asu B'Hanan, I'm the one that brought back millions of people to monotheism. I'm the one that has Eshel, the hotels that gives out free food. Gomri Hasadim. I'm the one that circumcised myself at 99. I'm the one that when you said Lech Lecha, I went with my eyes closed. And I have one child, and I almost had to kill him. And it's not so simple. And this guy Nahor, he's having children by the dozen as he wants. You don't see any akedat utz, or akedat booz, or akedat kemuel, or kesed, or hazor. At this point, Abraham Avinu could say to himself, Borei Olam, why does the tzaddik suffer and the rasha prosper? But you know what the reaction of Abraham Avinu is? Nothing. Good luck to Nahor. We read this aliyah on Rosh Hashanah to remind us that no matter what happens to us during the course of the year, we pray for the best. We pray that everything should be good. But you also have to know that the tzaddik, sometimes it doesn't always work out. It's not a right angle that equals 90 degrees. It's not something that's absolute. It's not a theorem. And the proof is, look at Abraham. And therefore we have to remind ourselves. And to me, this is even greater than the Akedat Yitzchak. The Akedah is one thing, but then to go as if they're digging him. After the Akedah, they're saying, Abraham, look at you and look at Nahor. Nahor is rolling and look at you, you're suffering. They're turning the knife into Abraham Avinu. That's the real test. It's not enough what he went through. But then they go say, look at you and look at Nahor. Hey Abraham, maybe it was worth it to be Nahor. Maybe all of your diligence and all of your obedience, maybe it wasn't worth it. Not kedai. Look whose life is better. Abraham Avinu says, I accept God, Borei Olam. That's Rosh Hashanah. God runs the world. God doesn't make mistakes. Hashka'a peratit. Melech al kol ha'ares. That's Rosh Hashanah. God is the king. And that's why we once said, what's the last word of that Aliyah? Et gaham, et tahash, ve et ma'acha. We end the Aliyah with the child called Ma'acha. Ma'acha is Rashi Tevot. Melech al kol ha'ares. That's the lesson of the Aliyah. That God is the king. And God knows what He's doing, and God has a plan. I want to give you another example. Let's turn a few pages in the Chumash. You remember when Yaakov Avinu took the blessings of Esav? I say took the blessings, I didn't say steal the blessings. There's only one opinion in the whole Torah that says Yaakov stole the blessings. That's the opinion of Esav. We don't hold like Bet Esav. We hold like Bet Yaakov. Those young rabbis that get up and say, oh, Yaakov stole the blessings. Why are you posek like Esav for? Because Esav says he stole the blessings, so you repeat what Esav says? He took the blessings, they were his. But what happened? Yitzhak Avinu and Divka tell Yaakov, listen, it's dangerous. Esav is going to try to kill you. And anyway, it's time for you to get married. So go to Lavan's house. Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old. Marriageable age. Shouldn't get nervous if you're a little old. And he didn't get married at 63. Anyway, it tells us, Vayetze Yaakov, so Yaakov goes, and he actually took a pit stop for 14 years. So he didn't get to Lavan's house until he was 77. He gets to Lavan's house, he sees Rachel, he tells Lavan, I want your daughter. Lavan doesn't make it easy. Today when a man or boy goes to take out a girl, his father-in-law says, what do you do for a living? Do you work? And you have to figure out what to say. Lavan doesn't go for that answer. He tells Yaakov, do you work? He says, well, not really. Well, you're going to work for 7 years first. Wow. We never heard of this. You want to have a daughter? You show me that you work. Don't tell me you work. 7 years you work? And then he works. He's okay, I work. He loves Rachel. After 7 years, switcheroo. Na'ah. What happened to Rachel? Rachel, another 7 years. 14 years. But working, like Yaakov said, in the heat of the day and the cold of the night.
Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. I believe what I'm going to tell you now is emet. Right before Yaakov leaves to Laban's house, there's one pasuk that doesn't belong here. From nowhere, the Torah just throws in this pasuk. It doesn't fit. We're talking about Yaakov. He's running away from his brother. In the middle it says, Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. It says, Esav went to Yishmael. He went to the Emirates, to the Middle East. Vayikach et Mahalat bat Yishmael. And he marries his cousin, Mahalat, the daughter of Yishmael. He gets married. For what purpose do you have to tell me now that Esav's... We're not talking about Esav. And then the pasuk says, Al Nashav, on top of his wives. That means Esav had a harem of wives. Now he decided to take another one. So he went to Yishmael, and he took Mahalat. What do you have to tell me this now? The Torah again is coming to show you. Look at the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. The tzaddik is trying to get married. He's 84 years old. He's got to work for 7 years, get the wrong wife, work against her. And here Esav, he already has all the flavors. Now he says, you know what, let me try a different flavor. Let me go to the Middle East. Let's go to Yishmael. Boom, he plucks another one, put it in the kupah. Esav wants to get married, easy. Finished. He takes a girl, another one. Al Nashav. Yaakov Abinu could say, hey, I'm the tzaddik. I'm the tzaddik. I'm doing everything right. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Oharim. This is Ishtadeh. He wants to get married, easy. He takes as many wives as he wants. I'm trying to get married. I'm struggling to get the right wife. So you see, the Avot went through this. The Avot went through this challenge of life that they saw that not always does the tzaddik have it easy. And we are the children of the Avot. And therefore we must accept upon ourselves the emunah of the Avot. That's why the Torah tells us these stories. I have a confession that I want to make to you. Many years ago, in our community, there was a man that passed away in the middle of his life. He was a man of chesed. He was a businessman, a very wealthy man, but he spent most of his hours helping people. He himself went back to school in order to become a therapist and a psychologist to help people for free. And he gave money, and he counseled. And he was something incredible. And then all of a sudden he got a sickness, and he went away quickly. I couldn't believe it. I thought this guy would live for 1,000 years. That's what we learned. You do chesed, you live forever. And even as a rabbi, I was young at the time, I couldn't process it. I said, how could this be? How could it be that this guy was such a gomel hasadim tovim? And this is what happened to him. So I went to a big rabbi in the Miri Yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Erlanger, the son-in-law of Rabbi Volba, alav shalom. And I told him my question. I said, Rabbi, how could it be? Tzaddik mera'lo. So you know what he tells me? He says, go bring me the Haggadah and Pesach. And I said to myself, what? The answer is in the Haggadah and Pesach? How can it be? I read the Haggadah every year. I don't see an answer to this question. I wrote a book on the Haggadah and Pesach. Haggadah and Pesach. I went, I brought the Rabbi the Haggadah. He's opening pages. He opens up. He says, what's this paragraph? I said, Manishtana. He says, what is the Manishtana? The Manishtana, the four questions. He said, exactly. He said, in Judaism, we're allowed to ask four questions. You're asking me the fifth question. The fifth question is not in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. He says, if you came to ask me why we're leaning, why we're eating matzah, why we're dipping, why we're eating maror, that I have an answer for. But your question is not in the Haggadah. Jews ask four questions. Vezehu zeh. Years later, I added to that chiddush that the rabbi said. Those of you that study Talmud, there are many times in the Talmud that the Gemara leaves a question unresolved. There's no answer. Very good. The Gemara leaves it with one word, tiku. What's tiku? Tiku is Rashi Tevot. Tishbi Ya'ane Kushiyot Uba'ayot. Who's Tishbi? Eliyahu Tishbi. That means when Eliyahu Navi comes, there's going to be a long line of Talmudists. And they're going to stand on line and they're going to ask Eliyahu Navi all the unresolved questions. They say, Eliyahu, on Gemara, this page over here, there was a question. He says, it says Tiku. Tiku has the answer. Next question. Yeah, Gemara over here, it says Tiku. Let me look at the question. The answer is this. And he's going to answer all the unresolved questions. But I want to say Hadush tonight. Some people are not Talmudists. Some people don't have any questions from the Gemara. That doesn't bother them. But they have questions on their life. Why did this happen to me? Why did this person die? And why did this child get sick? Lo aleinu? And why did this person never get married? And why did this person never have children? And why can I make a parnasa? People have questions that are unanswerable on their own lives. Everybody has some tekus in their pocket. And there's going to be another line. Not for Talmudists. For common folk, bourgeoisie. And they're going to stand on line as well. And they're going to get a private audience with Eliyahu Navi. What's your question? This is my name. This is where I was born. This was what happened to me. Why? And I'll give you an answer. Tishbi yane kushyot ubahayot. To me that's very consoling. That means there's an answer. And there's somebody that has an answer. So good, sleep good, there's an answer. One day you'll get an answer. It's not random, it's not happenstance. And I wanted to say like this, some have a custom of Pesach that they drink four cups of wine. And then they take a fifth cup and they put that fifth cup in the middle of the table. And you know what they call that fifth cup? Kos shel Eliyahu Navi. And I say, we put the fifth cup, that's corresponding the fifth question. The fifth question that's not in the Haggadah, but the fifth question that everybody wants to ask. I don't care about celery and leaning, that doesn't bother me. I want to know how come I'm not married yet. It doesn't bother me if we lean to the right, or we lean to the left, or we lean on the forward. I want to know how come I can't make parnasah. That's what bothers me. That's the fifth question. That's an Eliyahu Navi question. The fifth question is the fifth cup. You know, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah is at the end of Uksin. The Mishnah says like this: Atid Hakadosh Baruch Hu lehanchil lechol tzaddik v'tzaddik shay olamot. Have you ever heard of the concept of shay olamot? Shay is Shin Yud, 310. It says that every tzaddik in Olam Abba is going to get 310 worlds. That's the reward. This world is only one world. The reward for the tzaddik is 310 worlds. And the Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Lehanhil ohavai. Yesh. Yesh is 310. One day, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll explain to you where they got the number 310 from. There's a reason. But the tzaddik has something to look forward to. Do you remember when Yitzhak and Abraham were walking to the Akedah? Yitzhak looks at his father and says, "Dad, I see the wood. I see the knife. I see the fire. But Dad, you're missing one ingredient. Where's the sheep?" And what does Abraham Avinu answer? Elohim yir'eh lo haseh le'ola. Elohim yir'eh lo haseh. God will show you the sheep. Which was Abraham's way of saying, congratulations. You're the sheep. But I saw from Rabbi Yosef Nahmias, alav shalom in his derashot, he says a big derash. He says, Yitzhak Avinu, he didn't understand what's going on. He realized very early on that he's going to be a human sacrifice. And he couldn't understand it. He said, Abraham, you told me that every tzaddik gets 310 worlds. You told me about the Shai Olamot. What Shai Olamot? I don't even get one world. Even this world they're taking away from me. So he said to his father, Dad, Ayyeh Haseh. Haseh is He, Seen He. 310. Ayyeh Haseh, where's the Shai Olamot? Ayyeh Haseh Le'ola, the Jewish people are like a perfect Ola Tamima. We're the good guys. Ayyeh, where's the 310 worlds that you told me about? This was the question that Yitzhak had to his father. Why are the tzaddik suffering? And you know what Abraham Avinu answered him? He said, Elohim, that's an aleph. Yir'eh lo haseh, that's a yud, a lamed, and a heh. Rashet tevot Eliyah. Only Eliyahu HaNavi can answer this question. That's a teku question, Yitzhak. The first teku question was asked by Yitzhak, and Avraham Avinu says, that's the fifth cup. Elohim yir'eh lo haseh, hineh anochi sholeh alechem et Eliyahu HaNavi. You ask the teku question, only God can answer it. And this is why we read this reading on Rosh Hashanah. Because maybe somebody's going to come and have claims against God. I was recently in Los Angeles. And there was a fellow there that was having a difficult time getting his kid into the yeshiva. Like many of us have. Yeshivas are filled and they have standards and so on. And he said, you know something, Rabbi? He was driving me to the shi'ud. He says, I'm going through this to try to get my son in the yeshiva. You know, I'm getting a little turned off. I said, should I get out of the car now? Are you going to take me to the shi'ur? Should I walk? What do you mean you're getting turned off? He says, you know, I'm a little upset. My wife is covering her hair. I'm doing tefillah, betzivur, and all that. And then this happens to me. I said, oh, you have terms with God? You serve God conditionally? Meaning you have a deal only if He produces, then you serve Him? Meaning He has to produce. But God works for you? But you're God's boss? You're telling Him that you're not up to production, so I don't think I'm going to pay you this month? Since when do you make conditions with the boss? You serve God when it works for you, and when it doesn't work, you say you're not interested? That's not service. Our service to God is unconditional. And that's why we read the story of Abraham. Because many people have lived this, where Abraham Avinu suffers and Nahor prospers. That's part of the system. Emunah, God is God. There was a great rabbi called Ramban. Ramban is Nachmanides. Besides being a great mefaresh on the Talmud and on the Torah, he was a mekubal. He had a student. The student was about to pass away. The Ramban wrote for him a kamiyah, an amulet, with all Shemot HaKedoshim, names of God. And he folded the amulet and he put it in the right hand of his student. He says, when you pass away, take this amulet and it'll open all the gates in heaven. And it'll take you to the highest place. He says, and? He says, here's another paper. These are all my unanswerable questions on life. He folded it up and he put it in his left hand. He says, when you get up to that spot in Shamayim, I want you to come back to me in a dream and give me the answers to my questions. The student said, fine. He passed away. 30 days later, he comes to Ramban in a dream. He says, Rabbi, your kamiyah was like a charm. I got to the gate, they said, no entry. Look at this. Oh, kamiyah. Who wrote this kamiyah? The Ramban, Baruch Abba, Petchoni Sha'ar HaSedek, Baruch Abba, Laissez-faire, and they open up all the gates. He says, and I'm in a place over here which is the highest place. He says, but when I opened the other paper, your questions were not questions. The place that you sent me to is so transparent. The place that you sent me to is so bright and so lucid and so clear. These are not questions. I cannot answer you something that's not a question. Where you are, these were unanswerable. Where I stand, they're not even a question. Which was the student's way of telling that I'm bound. That there is a place somewhere in the world that is complete clarity. And that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is to accept upon ourselves emunah shelema, that there's God and He knows what He's doing and it's not always perfect and we have no complaints and God is a judge and He sees us and the macro is the micro. And Anuchi Adonai Elohecha Asher Utzi Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibet Abadim, world events and private events. But I conclude, yes, there's Abraham and Nahor. Yes, there's Yaakov and Esav. But we have a blessing that we bless each other during this time of year. We say, Leshana Tova. Umtuka. What does it mean? You should have a good, sweet year. It always bothered me. What do you have to add sweet? Just say you should have a good year. I mean, if it's good, it's good. We're not saying you should have a bad year. You should have a good year. You have to add good, sweet. If it's good, it's sweet. There's no. Everything is good. Everything God does is good. There was a great rabbi in our community called Hacham Yaakov Shaul Katzin. He was our chief rabbi. He always used to say, the tzaddikim are always involved in gezel. Aye. Tzaddikim are involved in gezel? He says, all day long they're involved in gezel. Wow, Hacham, how can you say that? He said, Gezel is Rashi Tevot, Gam Zu Netova. The tzaddik always says, everything is good. Gezel, all day long, Gam Zu Netova. We're praying to God. We don't only want it to be good, but we want it to be sweet. Because everything is good, but we want it to be sweet. If a person goes to the doctor says, this medicine is good. But you have to hold your nose when you take it. But you said it's good. It is good. But there's a lot of side effects also. You're not going to be able to sleep. You're going to have a stomach ache. Your back is going to hurt. But you said it's good. It's good for what you have. It's good. But I have another medicine over here. It's good and it's sweet. And there's no side effects. Hey, give me that one. If they're both good, I'll take the sweet one. We're asking Borei Olam, Nishana Tova. Tova, it's for sure. No matter what happens, it's always Tova. We are always involved in Gezel. Gamze le Tova. But let it be Metuka. We don't want to have to ask Eliyahu HaNavi what the explanation was. We're not interested in a teku. We want to understand it. I want to make something clear. I know tonight I talked about sometimes a tzaddik suffers. But guess what? A lot of times the tzaddik prospers. You shouldn't think that's only tzaddik suffering. Most of the time the tzaddik prospers. So you shouldn't think, oh, forget it. My career of being a tzaddik is over. No. Tzaddik betovna also is an option. And that's what we're praying, Borei Olam. Put us in the category of tzaddik betovna. We'll be the tzaddik. We'll do what we have to do. And then you just give it to us nicely. Let it be comfortable. Let us get married, b'sha'a tova. Let us have shalom bayit. Let us have proper children in the right time. Let our children be going in the derech Hashem. Let us make parnasah b'shem. Let us, all the health should be good. Let it work. That's a system also. That's a formula. That's an option. Why not have tzaddik betovlo? And that's what we mean, shana tova umetuka. And that's my blessing to Kahal Kadosh tonight. Be'azat Hashem, we should work on the Rosh. Settle the emunah. Coronate the king. And then be'azat Hashem, after we establish emunah shileman God, then we accept kol ba'alenu. Then we know that everything has an answer. Some things in this world and some things later on. The 310 olamot are waiting for all of us. But sometimes we don't see the seh, ayah seh, we don't see the seh in this world. But Rosh Hashanah reminds us of Anuchi Adonai Elohecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mibet abadim. Adonai hu Elohim, Adonai hu Elohim. V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ata pe'alto, v'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto, v'yomar kol asher neshama be'apo. Adonai Elohei Yisrael Malach, u'malkuto bakol mashala, amen ve'amen.